When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
Probably one of the players on the roster that if I could, you know, college football, you know, NCAA 25's out now and it's awesome and everybody's, you know, talking about it and playing it. Like if I could boost a player probably on this 49ers roster, D Winters would be one of the number one contenders. Like if there's somebody that I could just say, this dude's got to jump out of the arena with, you know, just what he did his rookie year last year in 2023 to this year, it could just seize that number three linebacker spot from the jump. The amount of relief I would feel as far as just the 49ers defense stopping the run, all these different things, the Drake Greenlaw injury, Drake Greenlaw going into a contract year with an injury, I would feel so much better about the 49ers' future. D Winters has the power to change so much in what is kind of, you know, obviously the expectations for the 49ers are through the roof, but there's so much change in personnel coming. All your corners, you know, the Brandon Ayuk situation, Drake Greenlaw, Hufanga, there's some issues. You got to have some of these young guys that were drafted to quote-unquote redshirt step up and win some of these roles. And D Winter's going to have that chance this year. I really think that he is. He comes at 38 on our roster countdown this year. And on our four polls, 1 through 91, 34 was his highest, 41 was his lowest. And a lot of that has to do with, look, the 49ers need this guy. He was just a special teamer only last year. Came in number 48 last year, so he's jumped up 10 spots. Could jump up more, I'm going to be honest with you. Now, the signing of Devondre Campbell, that's going to kind of keep him regulated to the number three spot without an injury. But he came out and balled out. We'll hear about Fred Warner talking about his OTA experience this year later on in this little segment. But I really, really enjoy old school thumper linebackers. And he is that. 5'11". He came in at 222. He's gained 8 pounds since his rookie year. He's up to 230 now. 5'11", 230. That is a... Somewhere, Navarro Bowman's like, yeah, like this is the old school linebacker build, very similar to Dre Greenlaw. They look very similar, shorter, and just thick with speed. That's the difference. I mean, this dude is a blazer. Ran a 4.49 40-yard dash at 220-plus pounds. Like, that's top 94 percentile of linebackers in the NFL. He's only 23 years old. 31 5/8 inch arms, not long arms, not tall. Like, if there's one thing I could change about him, it would be the length factor. But the Niners have two linebackers. They got the short thumper, and then they got the long pass defender, you know, the Fred Warner role versus the short thumper role, which is Dre Greenlaw. Now, 30 1/2 inch vertical, 9'9 broad jump, 20 bench press reps, all those things. Now, let's go to John Lynch. This was the post-draft press conference. They selected D Winters in the sixth round out of TCU last year in the 2023 draft. This is what John Lynch had to say about the 49ers linebacker D Winters.
Well, I think his linebacker coach did. Johnny Holland was a huge D Winters fan. you know, and we trust Johnny's eye a lot. Our scouts like the winners a lot. And, you know, we had a really nice discussion. We ended up with Jalen Graham. The reason we drafted Jalen Graham when we already had a linebacker was because we were kind of torn. All right, D Winters, Jalen Graham, ultimately D Winters won out. And so when he's still there at the end, you go get Jalen Graham. We liked them both. D kind of fits who we are, a player that drew some comparisons. Comparisons are dangerous because you got to go do it. But similar traits to Dre Greenlaw, you know, similar suddenness to his game. You know, I had the advantage. TCU was a heavily scouted school by me, selfishly, because my daughter Lily goes to school there. So I got to be there on three different occasions this year, and I heard plenty of anyone who I would talk to would talk about D Winters as being just a real leader on that team, another captain, but the unequivocal leader for that defense and the voice of that defense and very much of that team. So that carried weight as well. Ultimately, we felt like D was just a guy we needed to bring in, and we're really excited to take him.
And, you know, it's good to hear John say things because, you know, we go through and we do our draft write-up. I think we did 295 players that year, but we did a draft. These were my draft notes on D Winters before the Niners took him, right? And so I don't alter it. I go through it, obviously, change my opinion, but I always try to preserve my write-up before we drafted him because I don't want it to change. I'm biased. I'm a Niners fan, right? So whenever I do these breakdowns and these write-ups, it's pretty cool because it's kind of locked in a time capsule because you can go back and read and be like, all right, like this is who I thought he was before the Niners drafted him. And here was my write-up. 4-3 Will linebacker to nickel linebacker, explosive mover, good range as a second level defender, short area quickness, grab and drag tackler. He wasn't that bruiser or the thumper that I thought whenever you look at his height and weight. Has leadership characters, qualities, and high character. It was very obvious just watching the All-22. He was in charge of the defense. He was the leader. Obviously, you heard John Lynch talk about how he was a captain, but like he called the defense. Passing down linebacker only at the moment. That was sadly rung out to be true. Has to be better at block shedding. Best games were later in the year. Something clicked in 2022. Wish he was taller, around the ball, and is capable of taking a drive over. Plays with great bursts. In my notes, I put NBA Jam, which is like, you know, that he's heating up. Like, once he makes a play, he makes another play. And sometimes you'll go a whole drive and like, man, he didn't really even do anything. But whenever he does shine, man, he jumps off continuously. So anyway, that was my pre-draft write-up. From small town in Texas, Burton High School, Texas. It's like a population of 283. It's located right in between Austin and Houston. And whenever he was there, he did everything. Played wide receiver, running back, quarterback, linebacker, cornerback, safety, and punter in high school. He did it all. It's the small school way. It's the Texas small school way. You know, he was a two-time district MVP, had 1,100 yards and 18 touchdowns in his high school career. His center fielder on the baseball team, point guard for the basketball team, and a member of the relay track team that advanced to the state tournament. Dude's just an absolute athlete. Yeah, 5'11", 222, running a 4.4 40. Dude is just speed and athleticism. And probably his number one claim to fame, I don't know if you want to say that, sorry, Wayne, hopefully you're not watching this. It was the TCU bowl game against Michigan, the Fiesta Bowl back in 2022. And I remember this vividly. This was the same weekend that the 49ers played in Las Vegas against the Rams for New Year's. You remember that game? I think it went to overtime, right? It was like a heck of a game. 49ers won. Jared Stidham went off, but whatever. The night before, we're holding a 49ers Rush road trip event in Las Vegas. Had a great time. It was such a great turnout. But the Michigan TCU game was on, and Wayne was there, and we're working this event, and his team's getting his butt kicked. And like every, like, I don't know, 15 minutes or something, you just hear Wayne yell out a curse word at the top of his lungs. It was, I don't like Michigan, but I love Wayne. And a lot of it was because of this guy. D Winters took that game over. And again, just in that game against Michigan, he was the MVP. Three tackles for loss, one pass breakup, one interception, which was a pick six, took it to the house. And, you know, TCU just, they handled Michigan and ended their season. So shout out to Wade. We always bring him up with the Michigan guys. But that game will forever be burned into my brain because, like, we're working and hosting an event with all these people, and you just hear Wade yell out the F word, like, every random, like, 15 minutes. It was great. Now, back to just what D. Winters accomplished with his combine. Fourth fastest linebacker in that draft class. That's something. For somebody that you drafted the late sixth rounder, you're drafted traits, right? Once you get into late day three, it's traits. That's what you're trying to accomplish. Can he develop into what you want? We haven't seen it yet. But maybe he can. Now, if we just look at his rookie year, he played a lot. Now, defensively, only 60 defensive snaps, and it was only in the blowout games. Like, I went back, and I was like, oh, wow, this dude logged double-digit snaps in, like, four games. Well, it was both the Arizona games, which we blew him out, the Eagles game, blowout, and then week 17 or week 18 against the Rams whenever we rested everybody. And he wasn't good. He was not good on defense. However, on special teams, played really well. 226 special team snaps, 60% of the team special team snaps he was out there. I really do like that. Now, PFF grades, not kind to him. And this is why I think the 49ers coaching staff trusts Demetrius Flanagan Fowl so much. Listen to these D Winners PFF grades. 29.3 overall. That's as bad as you're ever going to see. 47.2 run defense. 59.1 pass rush. That's what he could do well. 29.3 coverage, not good. 62.1 special teams, really not bad. Anything above 60 special teams-wise, pretty solid. So I think that, you know, he could continue to be a special teams guy and probably make this roster. But you got to see some contributions on defense, especially with Dre Greenlaw out this year and in a contract year. I do think Greenlaw will come back for a playoff run. But, like, you've got to find an heir apparent. I hope we keep Dre Greenlaw forever. He's my favorite player on this team. But even me, like, Dre Greenlaw is my favorite player, period, on this team, out of everybody. I understand the need to probably move on after this year. I understand that. And you've spent so much draft capital. You drafted three young guys. D. Winters, Jalen Graham, Tatum Bethune. One or two of those guys got to pan out. And if they don't, the Niners probably keep Dre Greenlaw or bring in a free agent. But it's like, come on. My ultimate faith is right here in this kid. I think D. Winters can do it. I really, really do. And, you know, it's funny how much, you know, Warner and Greenlaw was rehabbing, obviously, because of the torn Achilles in the Super Bowl during OTAs and minicamp. Fred Warner didn't really play much at all either. He was there, but he was just watching. Man, they went crazy, and both of them have talked about how great D. Winters has looked. Here's Fred Warner talking about D. Winters and what he did this. I mean, this was just like a month ago, this OTA.
I think D's probably had, you know, the best OTA out of anybody on the team. You know, I feel like he's come along since last year. I remember he came in as a rookie, you know, was struggling to learn the plays and, you know, trying to get in shape and all those little things that you got to learn as a professional. And has come in this year and just been on it, you know, making plays left and right. He came in great shape this OTA. And so he's set himself up to have a great training camp. You know, he's going to train hard this kind of summer training and have a chance.
What else do you want to hear from the number one linebacker in the world? The leader of this team, you know what I mean? And there was a point where some point in OTAs, D. Winters got an interception, and it was on a day that the offense was kind of giving it to the defense. And what's it called? You get this story of Dre Greenlaw running from the sideline where he was rehabbing onto the field at his boot to congratulate D. Winters. Like, come on, man. This linebacker room, it's second to none. And if D. Winters can step up, and Dre Greenlaw comes back, you're talking about the best linebacker room in the NFL, and it's not even close. They probably have the best linebacker room in the NFL without, even with an injured Dre Greenlaw. So we'll see. You know, you look at the stats just from last year for D. Winters, 10 tackles, one pass breakup. Made $883,000 last year on his four-year deal worth $3.9 million. Played in 15 games. That's impressive. Now, you look at the depth chart. 49ers probably keep 5 to 6. You know, Warner's a lock. Devondre Campbell's a lock. DFF's a lock. His entire contract's guaranteed. Dre Greenlaw won't count against the 53-man roster being on the PUP. So that's only three. So I think you're keeping 2 to 3 of the young guys. D. Winters, Jalen Graham, Tatum Bethune. I'd go in that order. Maybe Zeke Turner. Maybe Curtis Robinson. But D. Winters is in a tier all to himself for me. I have him right below the locks. And then the other guys, Graham, Bethune, Turner, and Robinson, they're in that kind of last tier. So two of the last tier. But I think D. Winters makes this. And I think the plan for Johnny Holland and, you know, the front office and the salary cap guys, ideally D. Winters balls out at the Sam linebacker spot, moves into the Will spot next to Warner next year. You allow Greenlaw to go get paid and be the guy somewhere else, very similar to Aziz. It's not what I want. I think that's what the 49ers want, you know, with their whole red shirt philosophy, everything. But there's a lot on the shoulders for D. Winters. There really, really is. Can he step in and seize that role? I'm betting on him, and so are the 49ers with kind of how they've designed this roster. So, D. Winters, take this job and run with it, and hopefully you'll be a linebacker for the future for a long time. And for us, we'll just keep counting them down. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams 1 passing yard every week in September. That's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you can combine that again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week 1. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams 1 pass yard. Bet $20, you win $60 on that. It's so simple right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win. So it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research and they've come up with the idea, you want to help dogs' health, you got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on our old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down, you can see our pre-party, you can see our tailgate, you pick what you want to do there, and right now the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there, you get a QR code, ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful. The 49ers roster is without a doubt one of the best in the NFL, if not the best. Whenever you look at just stars peppered at every single, you know, offense and defensive unit group, they're all pros at every single level. The one issue that they've had since Shanahan showed up, and again, this is like the one glaring weakness to roster development and coaching, probably on the entire team, and that's special teams. It's been, to use a word I use all the time, it's been abysmal, and it has not improved. They've changed coordinators. They've gone after high-priced, you know, special teams, specialists. It has not translated. You spent third and fourth round picks on kickers and punters. Has not translated. I'd say Mitch Wisnowski probably did translate, but not until after his rookie deal. But we come in at number 37 on the roster countdown with George Odom, who was exactly that. You're talking about a Pro Bowl special teams player, and he's been good. Last year was terrible, played through an injury, which you got to give him credit for. What are you going to get in 2024? And it's kind of weird because 49ers have been awful on special teams, but now the antes have been increased dramatically with the new kickoff rule. And so I think a lot of teams are going to start to transition from linebackers, tight ends, whatever, to more cornerbacks, safeties, wide receivers, running backs on those groups. I really do think that you're going to get a lot more faster, smaller players. We'll see. I could be 100% wrong, but that seems to be the general consensus. So the need for George Odom heading into 2024 is even more important. It's even bigger than it was last year. He's going into the third year of his deal. Shout out to Josh, the executive producer of today's show. And George Odom's at 37. Listen to this. In 2022, he signed a three-year contract. He's now in the last year of his contract for the 49ers. In 2022, he came in number 39 on our roster countdown. Last year, 46. This year, 37. So the highest he's been by far, jumped 9 spots. And I think a big reason why is just, one, safety is a little bit more of a concern, which is the position he plays, even though he's been very bad at it. But there is some optimism there. Nick Sorensen called George Odom the most improved coverage of anybody during OTAs in minicamp. So that's promising. You know, if Hufanga does have a hiccup, do you go Malik Mustafa, the rookie, or do you go with the vet, like the 49ers almost do in every single situation, George Odom? We'll see. It seems like Nick Sorensen's already kind of painting the pathway to, if Hufanga has any hiccups whatsoever, George Odom might get the first crack at it. We'll see what happens during training camp and preseason games, but he's been terrible in coverage. Now, let's break down the height, weight, speed, all those things that George Odom brings to the Niners. He wears jersey number 30, 6'1", 200. Ideal build for a 49ers defensive back. 30 years old. He's getting a little, you know, entering into his seventh season. He ran a 4.4540, and he is fast. That has been maintained. You know, the old kickoff rules, yeah, it's kind of fun because you get to see who the speedsters are. And he was kind of, you know, the middle bullet. There's lots of different terms that you can use. Dude just runs as hard as he can, as fast as he can towards the ball. He doesn't have container responsibilities. His only target is the middle of the numbers. And so he lines up next to the kicker and just runs wholeheartedly. Because you got three kind of bullets, you know, or guys that just fly, and then everybody else has responsibilities. You know, I'm going to be 3 yards to the right, contained first wave, or 6 yards to the right side of the returner, second wave, which is usually 10 yards back, so on and so forth. That one, George Odom. And the speed showed. So he's 30 years old, but he's out there with rookies and undrafted free agents, you know, at different positions, and he's still got the speed, no doubt about that. 7.003 cone, shifty, 9'10 broad, jump, 22 bench press reps, and going into his seventh season. He's from Tennessee, played at Central High School in Millington, Tennessee, was a three-star recruit, and went to Central Arkansas, which the Bears, that's what's up. Shout out to them. Now, stud high school athlete at everything. I mean, he was a defensive back, punt returner, two-time sectional qualifier in track and field, sprints and triple jump, team captain, honor roll. Dude did it all whenever he grew up. Now, taking just kind of a step back and putting life into perspective, which I think this is one of the things that makes George Odom the human, the man, the team leader that he is. He had a tragic accident in high school. A teammate passed away due to a car collision, or not car collision, sorry, a hit with Odom, and the teammate died. George Odom, it triggered an asthma attack. He passed away. George Odom quit football. And eventually, the teammate who passed away, his mother forgave him and told George, go play football. Like, go play. This change, obviously, that's a heavy impact that it's going to have on any human being, let alone a high school teenager. And so I think whenever you have players that go through that, these terrible tragedies, it puts things into perspective. It really, really does. And, you know, anytime you've ever heard or seen or interacted with George Odom and his teammates, it's positivity. It's just what he brings. Now, back to the football side of things, he played the Rover hybrid star position, the safety linebacker that the 49ers covet. Yeah, Malik Mustafa, Renardo Green, you've got Hufanga played it, Jair Brown played it. Like, every single player that they target in the secondary, Jalen Graham, Tatum Bethune, like all these guys have had instances where they play this role, this hybrid, versatile, whatever. And it's got lots of different names based on teams. We called it the Panther role whenever I coached, but we were the Panthers. But this versatile can play lots of spots. That's just what it was. Was the Southland Conference first team in 2016, 2017 FCS All-American. He was the SLC Defensive Player of the Year his senior year, 120 tackles, 8 tackle for loss, 4 sacks. Just a good player. Now, you jump to his NFL career, was an All-Pro Pro Bowler with the Colts in 2020. We got him a year after that in 2022. So, signed a 3-year, $9.5 million. 49ers paid top-tier money for a special team specialist. And this is the last year he's under contract. Now, he was really good his first year. Listen to these PFF grades on special teams the last three seasons. Okay, before us, right, he had a 90.8 in 2020. That's whenever he was all pro. The year before us, still with the Colts, 84.8, still elite. First year with us, 90.5. You got what you paid for. Last year, 2023, 62.2. That's horrible. Now, playing through an injury, like messed up his arm. What's the injury details right here? So he tore his bicep, played with a brace on his arm, came back tough as hell, which you got to give him credit for. But the play wasn't good. And so the Niners have kind of continuously done this. Where they rush these players back from injury who are gladiators and expect them to play at the level they played, and it doesn't happen. I think it cost them a Super Bowl in 2019 with Quan Alexander. That dude just got abused the whole damn game, rushed back from a similar, you know, bicep tear. I don't know. I hope that they are learning some of these lessons, that just because somebody was elite before doesn't mean they're elite now. You could say the same thing for Aaron Banks through almost all of last year. Take that for what you will. Now, could he play more safety? I think he could. Now, he only played 37 defensive snaps last year, and most of it was in trash time, and it wasn't even good during that time. His PFF grades, 64.5 overall, not terrible. 65.1 run, not terrible. 61 coverage. That continues to be his biggest weakness, which is the safety if you can't cover. This is a post-Roy Williams world. You can't cover, you can't play. That's all there is to it. And so we'll see. Nick Sorensen said, you know, he's elevated his coverage considerably. That's huge. Love his toughness, love his attitude, love his leadership, but we'll see. He's earned $9.3 million in his career. Love that. 10 starts in his career, has not started any games for the 49ers. 93 games played, only played 11 last year because of the torn bicep. Now, look at the safety depth chart. He's locked. He's making this roster. Hufanga, Jair Brown, George Odom, Malik Mustafa. Those four. I don't even think there's any more room. Those are your four. And maybe Hufanga is slower coming back, which nobody wants. He starts on the pup or something, which I doubt. Then you elevate somebody else or bring in a veteran. A lot of people keep talking about Justin Simmons, but you've got to understand when the 49ers went after other, you know, safeties, big-time safeties, they said no because they weren't guaranteed a starting spot. When Hufanga's healthy, that dude was an all-pro in his only year as a full starter. And as soon as Hufanga got hurt last year, that's whenever the running game against our defense took off. Outside crack toss started working, all those things. Hufanga shuts all that down. So I don't think that you're going to get the 49ers to add a starting level free agent safety, even though there's still a bunch out there on the market, because this is Hufanga and Jair Brown's team. It's what it's going to be. George Odom, could he step in if Hufanga is slow to recover? Maybe. Malik is who everybody wants, myself included. The upside is there, but will the 49ers trust a rookie? They almost never do. The only time they trusted Jair Brown was second half of the season when Hufanga got hurt. That was it. So I think Malik is going to be on a similar game plan, but we'll see. George Odom's making this roster. Probably going to be his last year on the 49ers. But man, I hope we get first year George Odom of his deal, not last year George Odom on the deal. Hopefully he's fully healthy and trained to be what he can be, which is a 30-year-old all-pro special teams player instead of a subpar special teams player that only plays 11 games. So stay healthy, get out there. Anything that you get in safety play is just a bonus. But man, we need some solid special teams play more now than ever. And hopefully George Odom can bring that home for us. You know, I really love my job. I'm very lucky. Sometimes it is a job. Most times it's just me with a big smile on my face being a nerd. But like sometimes, yeah, you don't want to record or whatever else. And it's funny because recently, you know, whenever I meet people and I tell them what I do, I usually get one or two responses. Like, wait a second, you talk about the 49ers? Like, that's all? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, so like once a week, twice a week? And I'm like, no, like four times a day. They're like, wait, what do you talk about? It's off season. And then I'll explain like, well, we're doing like this roster countdown series. And everybody's like, wait, so you do every single player on the roster? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the last question is like, even the punters and kickers? And I'm like, yup, sure do. Every single one of them. And so here we are at number 36. Mitch Wisnowski, the punter, which let's just be honest. My criticism of Mitch in the past, just where he was drafted, it was never about him. I don't believe in drafting punters and kickers outside of the top fifth round. Like, top five rounds should be for players that play positions that are offense and defense, and I think sixth and seventh round, I don't mind that. Mitch Wisnowski was a fourth round punter. Jake Moody was a third round kicker. I have issues with the allocation of draft capital on those positions. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch would say, well, we had a full roster with the other guys that were on the board we didn't think could make the team. So the only spot we had open was a punter. I think that that is just a very nearsighted approach to the value capital, but that does not mean Mitch Wisnowski is not a hell of a player. Shout out to my man Dave, the executive producer of today's show. Just on the last 3 years, 2022 countdown, Mitch Wisnowski was 52. 2023 countdown, Mitch Wisnowski was 44. Now he's at 36. This dude just climbing. And you could argue maybe had one of the best Super Bowl performances, like might have been his best game of his entire career. Four punts out of five inside the 20 in the Super Bowl. Dude showed up clutch. Clutch. He did his damn job. And I think he's coming off the best season by a mile. We'll talk about his contract. We'll talk about the numbers, the analytics, all those things. Now, Mitch has changed his number this year. He's changed his number a few times. Was number 6 as a rookie, then switched to 18. Now he's jersey number 3. So you've got lots of, you know, what it is. So those of you who have your Mitch Wishnowsky number 18 jersey, you got to get another one, the number 3. 6'2", 220. He is a big dude, man. And you see him out there. You know, I was at training camp, and I saw a player working off to the side in shirt and shorts, and I was like, oh, George Kittle's not playing. He looks like George Kittle. From afar, you know, I was, you know, on the sidelines, you know, maybe, I don't know, 50, 60 yards away. It looked like George Kittle. He's that big. Yeah, that was a mistake on my part. Kittle called me out, rightfully so. But Mitch is no joke. For the thumbnails that I create for YouTube for this series, like I look up pictures on every player and I got to crop and, you know, edit and mad and, you know, whatever, put them in the thumbnail. Like, you type in Mitch Wishnowsky and you see some pictures of him and his wife. And he's got no shirt on. This dude is jacked. He does not look like a punter. Like, he literally resembles George Kittle. Yeah, George Kittle's bigger by about 20 pounds and, you know, extra 2 inches taller. But, like, dude's jacked. It's impressive. He's 32 years old, ran a 4.6 40-yard dash. Now, mock draftable, I always play around with it because it just shows players – like compared to others based on their combine testing. You type in Mitch Wishnowsky and you click the athlete button, it compares across multiple positions. Zach Wilson, the quarterback, you know, out of BYU, Jermaine Pratt, the linebacker, those are his closest comps. This dude is a big man, and he's got more than one personal foul on kickoff coverage. He will hit somebody. Going into his sixth season, it took a while for him to kind of step up. His rookie contract, his first 4 years were his worst 4 years. They weren't good. He signs a big-time extension. We'll go into that. Then his play ascended. I'd say this previous year, I'd say top 5 punter, easy. You know, 2022, I think he was a top 10 punter. His rookie deal, he was average at best. He was not a – you did not get an advantage because of him. His consistency was off, and he would shank a lot of times too. He seems to have completely eliminated that from his game the past 2 years, which I love. Went to Utah, but his journey to get to Utah and then get to the NFL after that is crazy. Went to Lumen Christi College and was a kinesiology major, 2-star recruit, and from Western Australia. You know, he's born in Gosnells, a suburb of Perth, Western Australia. Then he went to New Zealand with his parents, lived in Hawke's Bay, grew up playing Aussie rules football, which I love, and was forced to give up the sport because of shoulder injuries. Dude hits hard. Like, you hit hard enough to get shoulder injuries, something's happening. Left school at the age of 17 to do an apprenticeship, glass installation. But when he was 12 years old, got really big into billiards, won this big billiards tournament, and then shifted to, he went to like a punting competition and won. And then, you know, kind of figured all this stuff out and transferred, went to Santa Barbara Community College. He found his ideal conditioning was a mix of hitting the weight room, playing beach volleyball with his teammates, and that's where he kind of got into the shape that he is now. Now, he gets picked up at Utah and just crushed it, man. 2016 Ray Guy Award winner. He's the only 3-time Ray Guy Award finalist in college football history. 3-time All-Pac-12. I mean, you can go on and on. It's incredible what he was able to accomplish. Now, he gets drafted in the 4th round, pick 8. Like, not a late 4th rounder. This is an early 4th round pick. This was the Nashville draft. I remember I was there in person. We weren't broadcasting live for that one. And I remember I'm right in front of the stage. Like, I've been waiting for this 4th round pick. And I get up there and I'm recording myself. And, you know, with the stage in the background and the speaker, you know, in the 4th round, pick 8, the 49ers select punter Mitch Wishnowsky. And I just immediately started dropping F-bombs. And I was like, man, I can't put this video out there. It's negative. This is somebody's dream being achieved. But I was pissed. Yeah, I ain't going to lie. And again, like, you look at all the players, I'm glad I deleted the video. I actually went back and looked at for it to see if I could find it, But I'm glad I didn't. I think I did it last year. I tried to find it, and I was glad I didn't. Like, I don't want to put that out there. Telling the story is hopefully just how I felt about the position and not Mitch Wisnowski. I'm not an anti-Mitch guy. I'm just an anti-spending draft capital, especially premium fourth-round draft capital, on a player that is a punter or a kicker or a long snapper. Don't want to give Shanahan any ideas there. Now, again, you just look like Jake Bailey was picked 53 spots after him, and Jake Bailey's got an All-Pro and a Pro Bowl. Other players are drafted after him: Tony Pollard, Dre Greenlaw, Hunter Renfro, Gardner Minshew. Like, I just think the opportunity of a fourth-round pick, I get we didn't have a punter. We got to get a punter. Whatever. Take that for what you will. It really didn't have a good 4 years. I'm just going to be honest with you. Was average at best. Now he gets a 4-year, $11.2 million contract extension, which he got paid. Now you look at those numbers. Now we're 3 years out from that deal. He's the 10th highest paid punter per year, $2.8 million a year. He's 10th. Value, maybe by like $500,000, but that counts. Career earnings, $7.6 million. Love that. And he got paid, but there's zero guaranteed money left on his deal. For the next 3 years, he's under contract. So, you know, I doubt we get a punter holdout. They might shift some, you know, guaranteed money his way. But if he doesn't perform or had a bad year, they can move on relatively easily. I don't think that's what they want to do. They want Mitch to be here for the life of this deal, especially the fact that his career arc, it's trending upward. Now, look at what he did last year, okay? Played in every game, 17 regular season games, all the playoff games. 47.7 average is the second best of his career. Only 2022 was better. My favorite thing is only 2 touchbacks last year. That's great. This dude has totally nailed the art of pinning down, you know, and downing inside the 5 and 10-yard line. He had a 3.8 touchback rate, amazing. 26 punts inside the 20. It seems like twice a game, this dude's downing a punt inside the 20. That's really, really good. And so, again, top 5 punter last year, top 10 punter in 2022. We'll see. Can he get a Pro Bowl? Can he get something like that? I hope so. But, again, that Super Bowl performance, you know, I went back and watched it recently, 4 punts inside the 20. He did his damn job. And then some. Maybe the favorite play that everybody else remember, he called his own fake punt on it was 4th and 12 against the Seahawks in week 13. He goes to punt it, and there's just no rush. And so he just tucks it and runs, gets the first down. Was not called a fake punt at all. Got called back. Ronnie Bell, the infamous Ronnie Bell, got a personal foul call. So, you know, the play negated. It doesn't count on the stats or whatever else. But it's the only fake punt that's ever happened since Shanahan showed up in 2017. Shanahan's never called a fake punt, never allowed a fake punt to be called. The only one, and it worked, by the way, was Mitch just doing his own thing. Talk about the cojones on that guy. I bet Shanahan was like, don't ever do that again. Now, we got him in the fourth round. The one thing I will say is we traded back, okay? We traded back from 104 to 110. To the Bengals. The Bengals picked Ryan Finley. The 49ers, with the 2 picks they got Justin School and Mitch Wisnowski in that draft. And, you know, Justin School's no longer with the 49ers. He's playing with the Bucks. He played in all 17 games last year. He's a swing tackle. And Mitch Wisnowski, both in the league. So they won the trade, for sure. Still don't believe in drafting punters that high. He's played in 83 career games, 83 starts. He's a lock to make this roster. And it is fun. You know, with the new kickoff rule, Mitch might be the new kickoff guy because, you know, you don't want touchbacks. Mitch lost the kickoff duties because he could not kick a touchback. He couldn't do it. He's got the leg to punt, but it's a different motion and trajectory, you know, doing the kickoffs. So he lost that job to Jake Moody. And a big reason why the 49ers spent a 3rd-round pick on Jake Moody was so they could kick touchbacks. Well, NFL changed the rule a year later. 49ers voted against that rule. One of 3 teams, they wanted to keep it the way it was. So now, with shorter kicks off the tee, you want more height than anything. Mitch, like, he's going to get some work. I think they want Jake Moody to win it, but Mitch, who thought he was done with kickoffs, not so fast, my friend. You might be the punter and kickoff guy. That Jake Moody would just be the field goal guy, which I would not be upset with. They're going to experiment. We'll see both in training camp work those things off of kickoff, and who knows what the 49ers approach is to that, but we'll see. So, Mitch, glad to have you on the team. It's crazy that it took him a while to get where he was going, but if you can get one more year as a top five punter like we did last year, that contract was worth it. You just need one more year. He signed for three more. So if you told me right now we would get a top eight punter performance from Mitch Wisnowski this year, I'd sign up right now. Because I'm going to be honest with you, 49ers special team sucks. Mitch Wisnowski, Samuel Womack, those two guys single-handedly kind of keeping us from being the worst special teams unit in the NFL. So, Mitch, keep doing your thing. You're a damn good player. And hopefully, man, I want to see a Pro Bowl All-Pro for him. I really, really do. He's close. He's closer to it than he is away from it, if that makes sense. So, Mitch, keep doing your thing. And for us, we'll just keep counting him down.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.